Brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It is about right and wrong, about our hope not being a man, but in Jesus Christ, and about not just ending in prayer, but also moving to action. Tonight, here at On Fire Ministries, we are going to be doing Passover Seder, and a wonderful opportunity to just see the richness of God's prophecy. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ came, and all this symbolic fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ, tonight at 6:30. Also, want to bring quickly to your attention, we all should be praying right now. There are some things that are happening in the world that should be very encouraging to us, that there is a harvest in the offing. And we need to be praying, God, where do you want me in the harvest? Where do you want me, Lord Jesus? What do you have for me to do? And I think a lot of people think that they just need to keep waiting and waiting and waiting, but there's tons of things you can just start doing, and God's going to hone you in on exactly what it's supposed to be. Which brings us to the gospel of the kingdom, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So, when you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling or habitation of God in the Spirit. Plenty of opportunities right now to go evangelize, plenty of opportunities to be praying for the sick, those that are captive, plenty of opportunities. We need to reach out and take those opportunities. And I want to talk about a couple things very quick, a couple principles of the kingdom. The first principle is this, that we must confess the truth with our mouth, not how we feel. Quite often as Americans, we will walk around saying, I'm so tired, or I'm this, or I'm that, right? Stop doing that. Try to get yourself out of doing that. Change your mindset to a kingdom mindset. Confess what the truth is. The Lord is my strength. He makes me strong even when I'm weak, and he is strong even in my weakness. Start confessing promises of the Lord from the scripture. Right now, I see an entire opportunity for people to, I'm going to turn this, Travis, hang on, we're going to turn Patriot Radio right side up. I don't have that. All right, fantastic. I don't know how we can actually get through life if we're just confessing how we feel, and then all of a sudden we're surprised when we feel that way. You know, if you're continually confessing that you're tired, and you're tired, maybe you should start trying to do something else and standing on the promises of the Lord. Life is hard. Being a Christian is hard. It's supposed to be hard. We should embrace that fact. It was kind of funny on Sunday, we were talking about MyPillow. And look, MyPillow is awesome. Nothing against MyPillow. Promo code Church and State. Nothing against MyPillow at all. All right, but what I'm going to tell you is that as soon as I said, hey, maybe we need to kind of make things a little bit less comfortable, and I mentioned the fact that soft drinks make you soft. And then I said, you know, when you go on the mission trip, you're not able to, you know, really take your MyPillow. And I'm paraphrasing right now. And I hope like the entire congregation, Travis is my witness, the entire congregation piped up, yes, they have a travel pillow. Didn't you know that? Oh, that wasn't the point. We are supposed to be walking the road less traveled by. And the fact of the matter is, humility comes before victory. Part of being humble is taking the stuff out of your life that you really don't need and trying to challenge and stretch yourself every single day. And if you are not going to a fellowship where you're being stretched, pray. Pray about what the Lord would have you do. Maybe have you start your own fellowship. We did that for years. We were on the mission field. We did a lot of street evangelism and things in as a home church. So do that. And press into it. Pray about it. See where the Lord leads you. Right now, we need Christians in action, not Christians sitting on the sideline. And probably one of the worst doctrines of the last 500 to 1,000 years is this idea that we just, it's God's judgment. Oh, it's just God's judgment. Can't really do anything. It's just God's judgment. That is a total misunderstanding of the principles of the kingdom. Evil marches forward until it is stopped. And the fact of the matter is that evil is already judged. The demonic realm's already judged. Satan's already judged. He's already judged. So curses follow evil. And if you are taking the position that, oh, it's just God's judgment, not supposed to do anything, what you're basically saying is God is a liar, because when he made us a kingdom and told us to go heal the sick, cast out demons, preach the gospel of the kingdom, it's just God's judgment. What can we do? When he said, resist the devil, oh, it's just God's judgment. What can we do? You're basically calling God a liar when you say that kind of stuff. And that may offend some of you online right now, and that's okay. You need to be challenged, because the fact of the matter is that Christians are supposed to resist evil. We're supposed to stand up against it, push back against it, push back the darkness, let the light in, not be hidden under a basket on a lampstand, but let that light shine for the whole world to see. When men see our good works, and this isn't a works-based gospel because we are saved by faith, but when they see our good works, it actually is a testimony too. So this whole idea of humility isn't humility and just letting evil run over the top of you. It's humility before victory. And it implies action. Resisting evil implies action. And too many people have sat back and said, oh, it's just God's judgment, and just let evil reign in the land instead of standing up and fighting. And that was one of the most frustrating parts of being in the legislature, just telling people, hey, look, this is coming. Oh, it's just conspiracy theory. It's never going to happen. You're just overblowing the situation. And I'm sitting there like, this is what they said. This is what they wrote. They've introduced it every year for 4 years. They're pretty clear about what direction they're going, just like Vladimir Putin was for 20 years. Stand against the evil. Stand. Humility comes before victory. But this idea, we're just supposed to sit back and do nothing, is wrong. We are already judged if we are in Christ, because we are seated at the right hand of the Father with Jesus in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 2. So we're already judged. We need to push back the darkness. Preach the gospel of the kingdom to the lost and dying. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. There's a lot here today, actually. I'm going to start from a strategic point of view. Now, I had the great opportunity to interview with some Taiwanese journalists while I was over in Poland. Fantastic people. They're obviously over there because of Ukraine and because of the parallels with Taiwan. But one of the messages that I sent directly to them, and just I really encourage them. I said, you need to make sure this goes to the highest levels of your government. just like the Ukrainians have been successful what's called with what's called a defense in depth. And they were successful with anti-tank and anti-aircraft man-portable systems. In other words, they can be hidden very easily because they're man-portable. Taiwan needs to look at something very similar, but with anti-ship capabilities in addition to the anti-aircraft. And then just yesterday, this comes up in the news, and I want to highlight this, coming to us from Populist Press. Russian warship that Ukraine claimed credit for striking has now sunk. Now, this Russian warship was hit by two anti-ship missiles that were hidden, two Neptune anti-ship missiles that were hidden on the shore near Odessa, proving my point that if the Taiwanese wanted to invest in anything right now, man-portable anti-aircraft, man-portable anti-ship, or easily hidden anti-ship missiles, either way, that all of a sudden becomes a strategic check against China. So, why would we bring this up on the show? Because why is America not doing something similar here? Why do we not have a similar strategic plan like John F. Kennedy advocated, where we have a robust civil defense structure based on the militia, and that word is in the Constitution. So people, it's in the state constitution. It's also in the United States Constitution. The idea behind every able-bodied man between the ages of 18 and 45, and decentralized strategic deterrence. John F. Kennedy's big point, and he was right. Why are we not doing the same thing? Because if the Chinese thought they might come toward America and we had decentralized anti-tank, anti-aircraft, anti-ship capability, again, decentralized at the National Guard level, would that not be a strategic deterrence? And the answer is absolutely yes. And now we're seeing it here in Ukraine. So, take a look at this, because it was the flagship of the Black Sea Fleet that got hit. So, the Ukrainians obviously were waiting to do this. And they scored a PR win, too, by doing that. But it was one of their premier cruisers. Now, it caught fire, and now getting in real time right now that as it was being towed back to port, it actually finally sank. So the Moskva, or the Moscow, sank. Maybe that's prophetic, Travis. I don't know. All right, moving next on the international front to Euromaidan Press and their daily updates here, which have been very, very good and actually now proving to be very, very accurate. I want to highlight two things that have happened. The first is, It is again very clear, like the battle is shaping up for the east and also the south near Mykolaiv and Kherson City and just south of Zaporozhye. The battle damage assessment that has already come forward right now, these are World War II numbers. Over 750 Russian tanks, almost 20,000 personnel, 150 plus aircraft, almost 150 helicopter, almost 135 UAVs, and almost 2,000 armored personnel carriers, in addition to about 500 artillery systems. Again, looking at this objectively, let's say that these battle damage assessments are too large. Okay, let's say it's three quarters of what it is. So just based on these numbers, you're looking at right now 75 battalion tactical groups that would be rendered combat ineffective. Now, again, this is not including notoriously unreliable Russian maintenance. And I want to talk about why that's the case here in a second. I want to give my own personal story. But let's say it's three quarters of that. Let's say it's just 50 battalion tactical groups. You are talking about one third of the entire Russian military now, conventional forces on the ground. And again, not including those vehicles that are down for maintenance. Now, in Afghanistan, they ran between a quarter and one third of their entire fleet down for maintenance at any given time. I want to explain why that's the case. I saw a fantastic analysis on this the other day. The reason it's like this is because they get spare parts in, and those people at the lower levels in the military were taking the spare parts and were selling them on the black market and making money off of it. So they would report to their higher-ups that the fleet was good, when in fact, it was not. They'd sold the spare parts. Now, I watched this actually first person in Bosnia in 2000. The Russians would come to our base camp, and there at Camp Doble, we had a little PX, if you will. It was a little store where we sold stuff. Well, the Russians didn't have that. They would come to our base. And I actually had to put soldiers out in the motor pool to guard our stuff when the Russians would come there, because they were notorious, again, for stealing everything that was not nailed down. These are objective facts. But one of the point on the maintenance, I went up and looked at their truck very closely, and I noticed it was freshly painted. I mean, it looked immaculate, it looked really great. But if you look closer, it was a World War II era truck, and there was rust that had been painted over. And this really gives the clear indicator to me at that time that that was the attitude of the Russian military. They would cover over their maintenance issues. So again, not even focusing on those things down for maintenance, you're looking at the Russians approaching one third of their military. Conventional forces. Let me go back up here very quickly to another part of this update today that I found very interesting. So Ukraine withstood a sophisticated Russian cyber attack on its power grid. Now, the New York Times has corroborated this as well, it looks like. But it said on Tuesday, April 12th, they prevented a Russian cyber attack on Ukraine's power grid that could have knocked out power to 2 million people. And that Moscow is now shifting to more digital weapons as a result of the conventional force losses that they've had. And they will also very likely shift to more missile-based strikes, since their missile forces have done very well. And the reason their missile forces have done very well and their anti-aircraft forces have done very well is because missiles are easier to maintain, in that you know immediately if it's not working. And so you see that being the reason why. And also, there's a lot more scrutiny on the missile forces because of the amount of money invested. Therefore, there's less corruption there. Now, in the Russian mindset, every level of government has some level of corruption that is allowed. And the higher you get, the more you can steal, essentially, and that's okay, according to the Russian mindset. Another great paper written on this by a Finnish colonel that really outlines this very, very well. But what this is pointing toward is that by June or so, we are going to see, very likely, the Russian military pull completely back. They may not pull completely back out of Ukraine, but pull completely back as far as the war is concerned, because the numbers are so far in the wrong direction. Very likely, they will try to announce a victory on May 9th, which is a victory from World War II Day. It's a very famous and very celebrated Russian holiday. So watch May 9th, and you will see what happens if the Russians try to claim victory on that day, since Putin is very predictable in how he uses dates as part of warfare. Now, Coming to us from Open Source Intelligence, the U.S. has stated its shipments of equipment to battlefields in Ukraine are typically arriving in about 48 hours, a tremendous feat in lift and logistics. So when they're saying they're going to send weapons, it's arriving within about 48 hours. And now Moscow threatens to strike Kyiv command centers if Ukraine keeps attacking Russia. Russia reconfirms that they consider NATO vehicles delivering weapons on Ukrainian soil's legitimate military targets. So, what do we read between the lines there? We read between the lines that NATO is preparing for war and that it's almost being baited at this point. And if any of those things get struck, that may be used as an excuse for war. We saw this reported chemical weapons attack earlier in the week in Mariupol. And again, not verified. And again, almost irrelevant who did it. But you see these things keep being put onto the chessboard that could be used for excuses in the future to get in and go to war. So if you are paying attention, get prepared. Also on the international front. And it's on the national front too, but Travis, this is one of the weirdest things I've seen. Technocracy News, giant robot catches unmasked travelers at Dallas Airport. Travis, you're too young to remember some of the old TV shows with robots on them, but the fact that they would have a 7-foot-tall robot at the Dallas Love Field watching people to make sure they're wearing masks is not just creepy, it's indicating, because they would not have invested this kind of money, it's indicating that we may very well have to deal with these robots checking disobedience, aberrant behavior as we walk through public places in the future. It's like quite literally like RoboCop. It's weird. All right, now coming to the national front. Major lockdowns could be coming back in the United States after latest discovery. Okay, recent surges in cases in New York City across the state may be due to two new sub-variants of the Omicron BA.2 stealth variant discovered in New York. Just stop making it up. Just stop. It's the Omicron stealth BA.2 variant. 0.73 is coming next week. What is that? It's ridiculous. We've seen what's going on in China, and now they're trying to bring the specter back of this in New York. Let's stop with the seasonal cold. Also on the national front, 46 generals beg Biden to stop major deal in an open letter to President Biden Wednesday. 46 retired U.S. generals and admirals voiced their opposition to the ongoing negotiations with Iran on striking a nuclear deal. Yeah, probably say that's exactly right. We're going to have to get General Valley back on the show to talk about this. But the fact of the matter is that why are we negotiating with our enemies? And you notice what's going on. Because Biden has chosen the side of the Muslim Brotherhood and Iran, which is Shia, now all of the other Sunni nations are jettisoning. I mean, they're cutting up the relationship with the United States right now, Saudi Arabia and some of these other countries. The point is not who we're trying to be allies with in the Middle East as much as it is. This is destabilizing very clearly the Middle East and setting the stage for a war in the Middle East on a broader scale sometime later this year. Also on the national front, coming to us from the New American, does police shooting of Patrick Leoya in Grand Rapids set the stage for another summer of terror? Well, I'd been monitoring the intel on Antifa and some of the local Antifa cells here in Spokane, in the Spokane area, in Coeur d'Alene area. And there's been an uptick very clearly in the rhetoric locally, but then in their proving grounds, like over in Oregon and Seattle, we're starting to see gatherings again. They were just doing mainly training, and they were gathering some intelligence on Christians and patriots in America. But now they're shifting to more overt demonstrations and putting some of the things they've been training on into practice. Now, some of that training involved live fire training. So apparently the left has now discovered the right to bear arms. But every time communists do this, and they start training with arms, they're intending to use them at some point. This is communist doctrine, communist history. So this shooting, we don't know a lot, but the point is that it really looks like, based on the rhetoric immediately coming out of this, that this could indeed be setting us up for another summer of riots. And if this doesn't do it, but it's their plan and their timeline, they'll find some other excuse. But again, for all of us here, no fear. We just need to be prepared. And then lastly, on the national front, RNC withdraws from Presidential Debate Commission. The Republican National Committee unanimously voted Thursday to withdraw from the presidential debates and vowed to find newer, better debate platforms. Finally! I've been saying this for years. Why are we going to debate at the League of Women Voters and all these other radical leftist organizations? Oh, but they say they're nonpartisan. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they weren't. All the questions were always from a socialist perspective. All the time they would do that. More government this, more funding for more government programs this and that. Mandatory vaccinations, all these kind of things. Why would we want to debate about that stuff when, in fact, we can have the debate directly with the American people? Technology's allowed us to do that. Let's talk to the American people. Let's listen to the American people. So the Republicans finally do something I actually would agree with here in recent times. Last thing that I want to mention coming up is Resurrection Sunday. A lot of people call it Easter. Resurrection Sunday is more accurate. If you missed the study on Daniel 9 last night at the Last Time study we do here at On Fire Ministries, you can check it out online. It's already up. But here's what I want to say. There have been a lot of Christians that just want to hold on long enough until Jesus gets here. When in fact God said, you keep doing what I've called you to do until the last trumpet sounds. And that is what we're really called to do today. Get involved, be active, and push back the darkness. Find where your passion is, pray into it, ask the Lord, and get out there and make something happen. We cannot sit on the sidelines anymore. We cannot use the excuse, we are too busy. We are too tired. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. We have to take the bull here by the horns, as it were, and wrestle it to the ground. We have to do that in the spiritual. And if we have to show up at school board meetings and push back in the political realm or push back in the business realm or push back in the media realm, then we need to do it there too. Push that darkness back. Do it with love. Do it in truth, but resist the evil. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us and going on to Podbean. I think we're caught up now on Podbean with the latest episodes. So go to Podbean, share it with your friends and family. I want to thank the truckers out there that keep sending in positive messages. We love you guys. You guys work overtime all the time. We just love you guys and what you're doing, keeping America rolling. Also want to thank out there all the folks that are going to iTunes as well and Amazon and Spotify. The numbers are very high there. Just share this stuff with your friends and family so they get the truth and they know where to look with the primary source statements. And that brings me now to our guest today. And I really want to just preface introducing our guest today. Bernadette Pager is just, I've worked with her for a very long time. She is a stalwart defender of parents, families, and medical freedom. She's a longtime resident of the Pacific Northwest. And she, has been at the forefront of virtually every fight on mandatory vaccines before it became a deal with COVID-19. She's a member of Mystery Writers of America, Sisters in Crime, Northwest Science Writers, and the Seattle7Writers.org. She lives in the Seattle area, and she is a board member of Informed Choice Washington, an organization that opposes vaccination requirements in schools and daycare centers and beyond. Bernadette, it is great to have you on Patriot Radio today. Finally get to talk to you again. How are you doing?
I'm getting voicemail.
Okay. So, talking about the vaccine issue gets some people their blood boiling. But it's very simple. If I walked up to you on the street and I told you you must stick that needle in your arm, you would say, no, I'm not going to consent to that. No way. I would want to know what's in the needle. And why do I have to do that? And I still may not agree, and I'm not going to do it. That's real freedom. That is real freedom. Being able to say, no, you cannot put that in my body. Now, I want to talk very quickly about some constitutional principles in this regard. And Travis, if you could pull up the Washington State Constitution. Yes, we are going to take a look directly at the state constitution today in talking about this whole vaccine mandate issue, because it's all the arguments out there that you have to do this if you love other people, it's just totally bogus. Totally bogus. Because if the vaccines really work, you would never make that statement, right? If you're vaccinated, what do you have to worry about? The other part of this, too, is that the most control and the most tyranny we have seen in the last 100 years or so has come during this time of the COVID pandemic. And they want to try to make some of these things permanent. So the Washington State Constitution, it's like they had the discussion and they knew. It's like they knew that someday somebody might use an emergency to try to eviscerate the Constitution and the protections of the Constitution. So there are a couple pieces of this that are written in. And one of the most interesting is the compact which brought Washington State into the Union. Now, Washington State came into the Union with Montana under the same compact. And so you can get a pretty good idea of the context of the times. So this is the late 1800s, after the Civil War. There was a huge push to rebalance after the Civil War tried to eviscerate states' rights and in some ways eviscerate the Constitution. Now, I'm not talking about the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. What I'm talking about is the stage that was being set for the 16th, 17th Amendments, the income tax and the direct election of senators. Yes, those were intended to take away the rights of the people. It's a great history to study and understand it. Because prior to that time, and in fact, the founding fathers unanimously agreed on this point that people should not be directly taxed like that on their income. That your income, the fruits of your labor, should be yours. And that people should not have to start their own corporation, they could just hang a shingle out because it was their labor. There's a case called Dodge v. Ford, which really changed the idea of what a corporation was, because prior to that, corporations were chartered to do something that government couldn't do. So you had the East India Company, Hudson Bay Company. You had these companies that were corporations to do something that government couldn't do. And in effect, were recognized for what they were, an arm of government. And so every year they had to actually come back and justify their existence for the good of society. Could you imagine that today? And so Dodge v. Ford said, no, corporations don't exist for the good of society. We're not going to treat them anymore like they've been treated. They exist for the purpose of enriching their shareholders. And so you had a sea change happen. Again, this is in that late 1800s, early 1900s time frame. And many people understood that the creation of the Federal Reserve, 16th Amendment, 17th Amendment, were intended to allow for rights to be eviscerated by taking away the protections that were in place in the system. The government can come straight at your money. They can get to you. And so similarly, if they can do that, then it can extend to your person. And that's where I want to go for Article 26, and then we're going to bring Bernadette on here right now. So Article 26 of the Washington State Constitution is very clear. And Travis, if you can pull that up, it is a, it should be memorized by every single person. Now, I want to, again, set the stage a little bit here. The United States Supreme Court has ruled on several occasions that a person, okay, can be considered in a mode of worship for what they put into their body. These were the peyote cases, right? That can be considered a mode of worship, what they put into their body. All right. So with that caveat, let's read Article 26, the first sentence. The following ordinance shall be irrevocable without the consent of the United States and the people of this state. In other words, there would have to be a vote of the people of the state and of the U.S. Congress and U.S. Senate to revoke this article. First, the perfect toleration of religious sentiment shall be secured, and that no inhabitant of this state shall ever be molested in person or property on account of his or her mode of religious worship. So if what you put into your body is a mode of worship, that would include a vaccine. And if you have a longstanding, sincere objection to it, and you say, hey, I don't want to put something that was used, even if not directly, but maybe indirectly in the abortion industry or something that we really don't know exactly what's in it because it's experimental. Perfect toleration means perfect. Therefore, I have a right, an irrevocable right, actually, according to this. But it's irrevocable because it's given to us by God and protected by the state constitution. I have a right to say, no, I don't want that vaccination. Period. That's it. And that is the constitutional foundation that we are going to start on, bringing back on Bernadette. Thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. I already gave your introduction, so everybody knows who you are. It's great to have you back on.
Thanks, Matt. Hi.
Well, this is, we talked, I remember sitting up in the gallery. We talked about this stuff years ago, that eventually they were going to try to find some excuse for total mandatory vaccinations of some kind. And here we are. Yeah. Tell the listeners what's happened in Washington State, some of the changes that have happened, and also some of the victories and some of the good fight that has been put up across the country.
Okay. To begin with, I heard what you were talking about just before you pulled me on there, and I would just like to add that anybody who in their heart believes it to be a sin to do self-harm, anybody who believes it's a sin to intentionally harm others, and I don't know a religion that doesn't have those as foundational to their beliefs, then allowing yourself to be coerced to accept an injection that you know will cause harm is against your religion. And that's enough. if you believe this product is going to do you, I don't care if you've gotten every vaccine ever invented up until this one, you're allowed to evaluate each one for what it is and what it can do and what you've learned. My goodness, life is a learning journey, and you may have learned now. You may regret all those past injections. So I love what you said. We have to make medical freedom. You cannot separate body and soul. That's it. We have become this corrupt place where they have tried to systemically just cut us apart, our body and soul, and we cannot do that. The separation of church and state was not meant that individuals had to separate themselves, politics from their beliefs. No, it was to keep corrupt things out of our government, not out of ourselves, not out of our own decision making. And okay, so I digressed a bit, but I just love what you were talking about. So good and bad news. The good news is that at Washington State yesterday, the Board of Health members who are authorized by law to make decisions about what vaccines are required for school, they decided to accept the recommendation of a technical advisory group that they had assembled who recommended not to add the COVID shots. And the Washington State Board of Health agreed with that they would not add them, but there was a ton of at this time. So they had heard from tens of thousands of individuals for months. They actually usually only had like 15 minutes of public comment period. They actually opened it up the past couple of times. Yesterday there was an hour and a half of public comment. So I give them credit for allowing many voices to be heard. Many didn't get to be heard. There were far more people signed up than they had time for. Every single person speaking was opposed to these shots, except for the very first person, and it was this wonderful dentist who's opposed to putting fluoride in the water. So I was really pleased with that one, but that's a whole other topic. So the good news is that the activism worked, that individuals standing up and speaking truth to power put a pause on these mandates. But the attempt to mandate is not going away. In fact, it was made very clear that, I will read to you if we've got time here, one of the Board of Health members, her name is Elizabeth Crawford, she said the following: "The perception of the public is just not there. And I think this highlights the problem we have in the trust of public health. I'm looking forward to how we can build the trust of public health in our state. It's very evident there's been some disruption to it. It is a situation in which we need to be cautious so that we can rebuild that trust and be able to show the residents that we don't have enough information, but we're willing to put this on pause until we get more information to make a more data-driven, informed decision, and so we can have them buy into this decision."
Let's talk about data.
So they want...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, but it was clear that she still wants to change the vote. She still wants to mandate this shot, but she wants the public to buy into the decision. They're not listening, Matt. They are not listening to the dangers of these products at all.
They're not listening, and it seems like it's an intentional agenda. We'll get to that here in a little bit. I want to talk about the dangers they're not listening to. I have heard time and again, safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. And then you ask, well, what about this? What about that? Be quiet. You can't talk about that. Right?
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit. Let's just talk openly. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about openly. What are the dangers?
What is the danger? Well, okay, you know, even if we only mention what the CDC and the Board of Health and the Department of Health fully acknowledge, they fully acknowledge these shots can cause myocarditis, swelling of the heart, especially in young people. I mean, that should be it. Game over. They don't prevent infection or transmission, hospitalization or death, and they cause heart swelling in young people. Why are they even talking about mandating these products? It's absurd. They, you know, they acknowledge that. Pericarditis, another type of inflammation of the heart. Blood clots, a really rare situation where, well, I mean, it shouldn't be rare. It's not rare with the shots, where you get blood clots and dangerous blood thinning at the same time. So they can't give you the drugs they usually give you if your blood's too thin and you're bleeding out because of the clotting issue, and they can't give you the drugs to prevent the clotting because that would make you bleed too much. These shots do that. Guillain-Barré, did I already say that one? Autoimmune disorders, Bell's palsy, death. You know, they don't really acknowledge all of the deaths. One or two deaths they have acknowledged, but they have not thoroughly researched any of the deaths at all.
But it's only in a very rare set of circumstances that this happens. This is what their claim is. So what? Where can people go to get actual numbers on how big of a scope this is?
The easiest place to go is openvaers.com. So it's the word open, and then V-A-E-R-S as in Sam.com. And this is actually made by an individual who lives in Washington State, somebody who's quite a genius, who figured out a program to get actual federal vaccine adverse event reporting system data. It pulls from that database that is publicly available, and it puts it on a web page in a very easy-to-see format. And I don't have access to the internet where I am right now, but if you go there now, it will tell you. I mean, there's been over a million reports of adverse events. There have been, Matt, I apologize, I don't have the numbers before me. After a while, I quit looking at it daily, but, you know, 20,000 plus deaths, and the number of people that have experienced life-altering injuries will never be the same. Is huge, in the tens of thousands, if not the hundreds of thousands. Again, forgive me, I don't have the exact numbers. There's an old expression, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting something. Well, I tell you, ask anybody, do you know anybody not doing well after getting a COVID shot? Everybody will raise their hand. And quite a few of those people know somebody who have something very serious going on, and others know somebody who died. So, you know, one of the reasons they want to keep us censored, shut down our communication, keep us away from each other as much as possible, is so that we can't get together and begin to compile everything that we're witnessing. And so they can keep it. That's why they've, you know, got a strong arm on the media, doesn't want to report it. And you, Matt, you know, it goes back. It goes back decades. The federal government, when they decided that vaccines were their tool of choice for communicable infections, you know, they set a policy, and this is all in the written federal record, that they were going to have to suppress information about vaccine dangers, no matter how true, in order to keep faith in the vaccine program strong. As dangerous as that was, for all of the vaccines leading up to 2020, with so many injuries and deaths happening and being denied, you bring in these mRNA genetic therapies with the massive amounts of harm they're doing, and you apply that same marketing campaign of suppression of harm in order to propel faith in the program, you end up with a monster, an absolute lethal and, I believe, criminal monster with these shots.
So we've got about 5 minutes left. What can people be doing? What is an effective way to confront this? Because you're right. You know, yes, we spoke truth to power. Yes, it paused it for a while. They always wait until people go back to sleep, and then they try to reintroduce it again. So
yeah. Yes.
What can people be doing right now?
Very good. Don't go back to sleep, first of all. Celebrate the small victory. Yay. we paused them, but, you know, they're gearing up to figure out other ways, and they're starting the marketing campaign with our own taxpayer dollars. So number one job is seek out medical freedom-loving candidates and get them in office. We need to vote out. The Board of Health is hand-selected by the governor, and I know the governor is not up for election this year, but there are other positions open. We have got to get people in office who represent freedom, especially medical freedom. So that's job one. I can't stump for any candidate at this point, but I can tell you to go out there, find those medical freedom candidates, and help them get elected. That's job one. And then job two is educate everybody. Be brave, wear a t-shirt, wear a hat, speak to everybody everywhere you go, bring little flyers, bring anything about the facts, about the data. Tell people where to go to get the good data, to get the facts. Educate the public. An educated public cannot be deceived. They can't be fooled. They can't have their freedom stolen from them. So let's educate each other. I think those are the two biggest things.
I would agree 100%. And I want to just say this too. You know, when you first get involved and you go to a meeting and you think they're going to listen and they don't, it can be really, really discouraging. But here,
yes.
But it's perseverance that wins. It's perseverance in continuing to show up, to ask the candidates the right questions. Where do you stand on mandatory vaccinations? Where do you stand on mask mandates? Where do you stand on these things? In spite of the, you know, what the Constitution clearly says in Washington State under Article 26, where do you stand on these things? And just keep pushing, keep persevering, because that's where change ends up happening.
Yes, yes. Eventually, the momentum will flip. If everybody just stays loud, stays vocal, stays rational, stays peaceful, stays factual, and don't give up. We've got the angels on our side, God's on our side, truth is on our side. And to quote Dr. Robert Malone, who quoted St. Augustine, you know, at some of these speeches he's given lately, he said, after St. Augustine, the truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose. It will defend itself. So let's keep speaking truth to each other. Go, and I always encourage, go about with grace in your heart, because people are waking up at different speeds. Try not to burn bridges. Keep some grace. Walk away rather than, you know, say something you'll regret later, but just keep educating to those who are ready to hear.
I think that's absolutely critical, that we do realize that there are people that are just getting out of bed, as it were, you know, and we have to educate them too, and not leave them behind either, or try to scoff at them or say that they're, you know, where they're at is their fault and we're not going to help them. We just have to recognize where they're at and we have to help them out.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, there's no shortage of places to get information. So I'll give a little plug for informchoicewa.org. Informchoicewa.org. Check it out. Join the action team for free. Stay up on the news and connect with like-minded people so that you can take action together.
Bernadette, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Blessings to you and Informed Choice Washington. You guys are doing a fantastic job. Keep up the fight.
Thank you for the invitation. Take care.
All right. Again, Informed Choice Washington. Go check it out. And, you know, one of the things that we need to, again, highlight here is perseverance. Perseverance. I remember when they first started introducing these bills a long time ago. And I remember when we defeated it the first time on the floor of the House of Representatives. Then I remember when we defeated it again. They kept coming back. And then I remember when it literally, the clock had already gone past the time, the constitutionally set time for the session to, for the introduction of bills in the Senate and the consideration of bills in the Senate. Not introduction, consideration. And I watched the clock, and they still did it. Even though, from a parliamentary perspective, that was wrong. They still did it. And then I watched them come back the year after that. That's how invested they are in these things. And we have to be invested as well in our children's future. For the sake of all that matters to us and freedom. Why do we not want to fight and keep fighting? And again, this gets back to the original part of this show. We have got to stand up and push back the darkness. It is not enough to sit around and pray. We have got to move to action. It's not enough just to have that coward's comment of, it's just God's judgment, just sit back, can't do anything. And that might offend people, but I'm telling you right now, theologically, you're wrong, okay? And go to the scripture, look for yourself, and then ask yourself this question. How is that approach working? Because right now, you have Marxist ideology running over the land. I remember 12 years ago, we were talking about things like critical race theory and Marxist indoctrination in the public schools. And people were saying that'll never happen in America, and yet here we are. Or that men would compete in women's sports, and yet here we are. So what's really good, if you're listening to the show today, is just admit you don't know what you don't know. Go check it out and understand our role as Christians in pushing back the darkness. And if you understand that role and that mindset in the kingdom, all the other things really fall into place, like the right to worship the Lord unmolested, like the right to bear arms, like the freedom of speech. All of these things make total sense in this context, because all of those things are rights given to us by God so we can push back the darkness. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio. Really appreciate all of your support. And again, happy Resurrection Weekend. May God bless all of you, and may He truly make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.